Dr. Allison Escalante is a pediatrician, mom, and author of the upcoming book, Sci C Start, How to Be the Parent Your Child Needs in a World That Won't Stop Pushing. Dr. Escalante is on a mission to ease the epidemic of anxiety that has convinced us we are always failing as parents.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Earrings Off. We want to invite you to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can find us on Facebook at Earrings Off Podcast and on Instagram at The Earrings Off Podcast.
Welcome to Earrings Off. I'm Lou.
And I'm Teresa.
Hello. And today we have with us Dr. Allison Escalante. Dr. Escalante, welcome to Earrings Off.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to this conversation. So I'm going to jump right into the questions. I want to know, when did you come up with the idea of the should storm? I have to be very careful when articulating that.
Yes. And the double entendre is intentional.
Because
it can feel like that as a parent and a mom, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we're in this epidemic of anxiety. And it's international, but the U.S. ranked number one in the world a couple years ago. And if it's affecting all aspects of our lives, but it's really, really intense for parents and for kids. It's really affecting our adolescents. And I started looking as a young pediatrician at the rising anxiety in parents, worrying about things that maybe parents didn't used to worry as much about, and hearing that from my older colleagues and saying, what is going on, right? Yeah. You know, and my older colleagues kind of put it on parents, like, oh, these parents get more worried every year, blah, blah, blah. These parents, they don't know how to handle things. But it's like if every parent is reacting that way, then something bigger than individuals is going on. And so I started looking for a book that would help, you know, looking for the book I could give my families as their pediatrician. And meanwhile, I was a young mom, right? And so I'm reading these books and they just made me feel absolutely terrible about myself as a mother, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized the word should was everywhere. You should do this. You should do that. You should never do that other thing. Yeah. You should, you shouldn't. You're going to mess your kid up for life no matter what you do, but follow my shoulds and you'll do better. But all the people with all the shoulds disagreed with each other, you know? And
it's very confusing.
Very confusing. And some of the advice was good and some of it was garbage, but like it was all conflicting and it all seemed to blame parents and drive anxiety. So that's a should storm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I listened to your TED talk where you shared the story about your friend and I immediately went there because as a young mom, as a young parent, you just feel overwhelmed and people mean well, but it's a lot of information coming at you. So I just could relate so much to your sharing of that. But doctor, you talked about early in your career, you were seeing patients in a well-to-do area outside of Chicago, and you were surprised by what parents asked. Can you share with us, what did they ask and why were you maybe surprised at it?
Well, I think it's going back to what I was just talking about, the sense of worrying about small things that maybe parents didn't used to worry about. Now, I'm Gen X, and so I kind of grew up with parents that were, you know, our parents, like, you skinned your knee and it's like, okay, you know, here's the hydrogen peroxide, it's going to burn.
Get back out there.
Right. By the way, we don't use hydrogen peroxide anymore. It turns out it actually impairs wound healing. So we just use soap and water now. My kids have missed out on that toughening experience, you know.
Right.
And I mean, the school nurse was the same way because I used to fall and skin my knees all the time on the asphalt at the playground at the school, right? And now, it's not just individual parents, it's the culture, right? So my kids went to daycare. And when your kids are at daycare, if they get a tiny bump or bruise, you get an incident report,
Yeah.
right? And you have to sign the incident report, and sometimes you get a call at work.
Yeah.
And I would have parents come in. So one example would just be like little, like toddlers who are learning to walk, who have those bruises up and down their shins, right? And they'd be extremely upset and convinced that their child caregiver was neglectful because their kid had these bruises. And I'm explaining, like, these are actually things that as pediatricians, we look for that. Like, we want to see those bruises because that's part of learning to walk and learning how your body works. And kids who don't have that bruises are being overprotected, right? So examples like that, or, you know, parents coming in, and saying like, hey, my child's had, she's been sneezing for about 3 hours now. I know that sounds excessive. I know that sounds like a fake story. It is not a fake story. And it happened multiple times, right? My kid started sneezing yesterday, or my kid has been sneezing for a few hours. Can we nip that in the bud? And this was before COVID, right?
Wow.
These were like regular old colds, right?
Yeah.
And as a doctor who trained at places like Duke and University of Chicago, where I saw like really intensive medicine and really extreme diseases, I didn't even know how to respond at first, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
That is crazy.
That is. Yeah.
But you know, those folks were well-meaning, and that's what we need to understand, is that the culture is driving this.
Right.
Those parents were being loving and trying to do their best for their kids.
Right.
And it came off as anxiety. It came off as overparenting.
Right.
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 And
yeah.
Maybe it is a little overparenting, but it's being driven by love, and it's being driven by this should storm that is giving parents these really problematic messages.
How does PsyC start work? And can you describe this method?
Yes. So this is my proposed solution. Now, I got to be real clear, guys. You cannot solve a cultural systemic problem just by telling people to do a mindfulness exercise like I'm going to teach you in their own homes. I am not pretending that this solves our maternity leave problems or our lack of parental support in this country or all the ways we don't support parents and kids.
Right. Yeah.
But that stuff takes decades to change, and I can't wait on the politicians. I need to find something to help my family and the families I know now. So that's what this is. So every time you feel a should or you feel unsure, just sigh. Take a deep breath into your belly and let it go long and slow. Sighing centers you. It balances your nervous system. And that long, slow out-breath sends a message to your nervous system that you are safe and that you have time to connect with your child. Then see your child. See the situation. See things as they are. Maybe, you know, see their body language or or notice, because the other word for see is notice. It's not about vision. It's about taking this moment of mindfulness to notice what's going on without just reacting to our shoulds, right? So is there loud pounding music and your kid is sensitive to sensory stuff? Like maybe that's why they just hit the cat, you know? Like let's notice what's going on before we just react. And then we start. So you start thinking about what's needed, maybe start trying something different. One of my favorite ways to start is by doing nothing, because I tend to be reactive. So if I start with a pause, it often gives my kids a chance to collect themselves. Sometimes they even solve the problem themselves if I do that, you know? But the main thing is, once we get to start, what we're practicing here is basically the scientific method. I know science is a touchy subject these days, but what I like about the scientific method is that you're testing, you're seeing what works and what doesn't. And it's never about getting it right. It's about trying stuff. So if I start something and it works, then I'm going to file that away as, hey, that worked. Okay, I'm going to remember that in the future. I can use that. If it doesn't work, okay, I've learned that didn't work, right? Now I file that away. That's a learning. It's not a failure. it's not, you know, whatever we tell ourselves, if it makes us feel like, oh, I should have done it differently, we know what to do,
right,
which is sigh, see, and start again. Mm-hmm. And by totally changing our approach where we connect, we notice, and then we experiment, we move out of perfectionism and we get into a learning approach. And that opens everything up because it makes us like more open and less critical on ourselves. And guess what that provides for our kids? Space for them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, Doctor, what has been your biggest challenge as a parent?
Yeah. You know, about 2 years ago now, I got very ill with COVID. And I developed long COVID, and I actually have quite a severe case of it. So I've not been able to, not only have I not been able to work as a pediatrician for 2 years, but I'm frequently bedridden. My whole family has had to reorganize because I can do about like one thing a day. And so my family's supporting me today. I get to talk with you guys, right? And this will be my thing. And this is going to, this is going to wipe me out, you know?
Oh, wow.
So watching everything shift, right? My husband and my kids now take care of me instead of taking care of them, right? And wondering, like, is this sigh, see, start just another, like, too good to be true parenting thing? Or is this working in difficult times like this, right? Mm-hmm. And I found for me, especially because sometimes my brain doesn't work right, it's one of the only things I can actually remember and apply because it's so simple, right?
Yeah.
And while I can't, you know, take care of my kids' physical needs, I'm not doing the grocery shopping, the laundry, or the cooking, right? My husband's doing all that. I can still be present for them. Even if I'm in bed and they just brought me a cup of water or they brought me food in bed, I can be present for them. And I do feel like our relationship has deepened.
Oh, wow.
I am not pretending this is easy. This is not one of those toxic positivity things. This disease stinks, and what it's done to my family stinks. But I do feel like I am still their mother. And I do feel like even one of my biggest fears was that it's really bad for kids if you turn them into the parent, right? And so I was afraid that if they started taking care of me, that that would somehow happen, right? And it has not been the case because I use sigh, see, start. I stay present with them. They share sometimes stories from their days. And, you know, they're learning a good lesson about helping, but they know I'm still mom.
Wow. Right. That is.
Yeah, I remember from your TED Talk, you shared that being present is the thing. That's the most important thing that you can do for your child is to be there and to be in the moment with them. So, yeah.
You know, one of the deepest needs we all have as humans is to feel that we are known. That's what we want from our parents. It's what we want from our eventual, you know, romantic partner, for our friends.
Yeah.
And that's how you make someone feel known. You know, you're in your body, you're in the moment, you're really noticing them, right? And that means a lot. And that's the core of the relationship.
So tell us, doctor, how is parenting today different than it was just one generation ago? You know, different than, you know, what you called old school parenting. Why is it so different and how is it so different?
Yeah. And, you know, I was trained in history, so I do feel that historians might argue with me about this oversimplification I'm using. Mm-hmm. But there was a shift that happened right after my generation. And even though there have been many parenting shifts in American history and so forth, this change was a big one. And that was where so again, I was raised old school, which means I was raised with, you know, punishments, corporal punishments, lots of good spankings, you know, and shaming, a lot of verbal shaming, right? Like, why'd you do it that way? Why can't you be like so-and-so? All those things, right? Uh-huh. That were normal parenting and actually considered, important. Parents were taught that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child, right?
Yes.
And historically, remember, I have to because I was trained in history. Historically, for centuries, adults were punished by corporal punishment too, right? That's what people forget. Right. Like, right. People hit their kids because they would get whipped in the public square if they had an infraction,
yeah,
right?
Right, right.
But society has moved forward, right? And we don't put people in stocks in the public square and throw tomatoes at them anymore. Mm-hmm. And we've learned that, it's not actually good for our kids. It's not good for any of us to be shamed and belittled or punished physically. So one of the things there were strengths to old school parenting, right? And one of them was that it had more faith in our ability to handle things, right? So mm-hmm. We had more freedom, we had more autonomy. On the other hand, it focused on our behavior and how compliant we were. And so if you couldn't meet the expectations of the adults, then you were a bad kid, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is, kids who had a learning disability or ADHD or something going on that was upsetting them, like they might not be able to meet those expectations, right? And that they got missed under the old school system, right? And then even kids who could meet those things, like I was, little Miss Goody Two Shoes growing up, right? But what I learned to do was suppress my emotions, right? I learned to comply rather than think for myself, right? Obey rather than think through and make a decision for myself. And that's where the shift is. Mm-hmm. I think parents today want their kids to learn how to decide to meet the expectation rather than comply, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's messier. But I also think it's great.
Right.
Did you say great or gray?
Great. Great. Wonderful.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very good.
It leads to more sass
yeah.
from your kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's messy, right?
Yeah, it is messy.
You know?
Yeah.
Great grandma's like, I can't believe these 4-year-olds who don't know how to sit still, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But it should hopefully result in something good, I think.
Right.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Doctor, those are all of the questions that we have for you today. Do you have any parting words or information you want to share with our audience here at Earrings Off?
Well, it was such a pleasure being here. I wish your listeners could see the beautiful art I'm seeing on your wall there. If listeners are interested, I've recently written a book. It's called Sigh, See, Start, How to Be the Parent Your Child Needs in a World That Won't Stop Pushing. And Sigh, See, Start is available on Amazon or wherever books are sold. If you want to learn about me, I have lots of articles and things. You can find me at sighcstart.com. And my parting words would be, whenever you feel a should, sigh, see, and start.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes,
thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take good care.